Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says yo.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Nintendo Shack Podcast Halloween Spectacular. I'm joined here with Garrett and Elaine, and we are a few days before Halloween here. We are getting into the Halloween spirit. We're going to be talking about all of the latest and greatest in Nintendo news. The Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pass just dropped, so we'll be talking about all of our impressions with that, if we got it. I don't even know if you guys got it. I'll talk about my impressions.
Sounds good.
We're going to talk about Niantic's new Pikmin game. We're going to talk about a lot of really, really cool stuff. I think we have some games releasing this week. We'll talk about our Halloween plans, what we like for Halloween gaming, and more. We're having all sorts of issues. It's the ghost of Halloween.
Garrett!
But you know what?
Garrett,
we're just gonna roll with it.
This podcast is haunted.
I feel like this is a common theme, because if you are a longtime listener of this show, you will know that last year, before Elaine was on the show, last year when it was me, Garrett, and Donnie was actually having some issues for our Halloween show. So I think there might be some haunted, you know, ghost of PSVG going on here, because if you remember back, he didn't have internet last time. And then me and Garrett were trying to run the show. I think it was one of the first times we were doing a show completely on our own.
Yep.
So we were like, we don't know what the heck is going on. Donnie jumps into the call because his power goes back on, joining the show kind of impromptu. So I think we have a common theme here with fun Nintendo Shack Halloween shows.
Yes, very much so.
Fun.
But I think it's stable now.
We'll see how it goes. Okay.
You're gonna scare it away. I'm still in the haunted basement. You could blame it on me. Hi, Nana. Hi, haunted ghost of Nana. It's fine. Don't worry.
You know what? It makes it more fun. It makes it more memorable. Before we get started with what we've been up to and all of the latest, greatest news, Garrett, why don't you thank the producers that make this show possible?
Yes, thank you very much. Edwin Callow, AJ Pentecost, Chris M, Devin Tyus, Horsegirl69,
nice.
Joe Wilson, Josh Barboni, Kyle Heyman, Nick Creature, Nick Fall Harbor, Paul Calico, RJ Kern, Stephen Keller, Zach Adams, Trucker Sloth, and Michael Taylor. Thank you guys so much.
For the support. The show goes on because of you. Oh man, so the only thing that I've really been up to this week are trying out the Nintendo 64 games on Switch Online, which we have a couple headlines to talk about that to discuss, so I'll talk about my experiences with that when we get to it.
Okay.
Other than that, I really haven't been playing a whole lot. I am getting a few of the games that are coming out this weekend.
Cool.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later, too. So I really don't have much to talk about what I've been up to in the gaming world. What about you, Elaine? I see both of you kind of had the same...
It's been a weird week for me, too. Like, I said this on PSVG, too, and I'm just like, I don't know. Video games are weird for me right now because I've been stressed and there's been kind of a lot going on. I played more Metroid. I've kind of been dipping in and out of that. But then I got way back into Tetris 99. Mistakes were made. And then, okay, and then
ooh,
then I learned how to play Fortnite, but I still can't build anything. Okay, so here's the thing.
Then you're not playing Fortnite.
Look, yeah, it's a giant component of the game.
Look, you're just mad that you don't have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old to carry your sorry ass to three squad wins with another mom, because that's what happened.
That sounds my little sibling.
These kids are the best. I got a Tetris 99 win that I was cheered for by children, which made my ego feel super good. There were kids screaming, "Let's go!"
Up.
These were not my kids.
Did you get the Metroid theme in Tetris 99?
That starts tomorrow, so that's gonna happen. So that's why I did this. I was like, I can't come into
practice.
An event.
It looks dope.
Scrubby. I got to come in and be good at this video game again. So then these kids were like, "We're gonna teach you how to play Fortnite." And I agreed to this because I'm trying to impress small people, and also they're cool. So they then carried me to, we played four matches, they carried us to three wins in four. These kids are good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I'm bad at video games. I'm so bad. And
kids are really good at Fortnite.
And then my daughter, I went home and told my kids that I played with these other kids. So my kids were like, we're going to play Fortnite with you. And then my daughter proceeds to show me that there are Resident Evil skins in Fortnite now. So I'm like, whoa, here, like, with my credit card going, I can make a mistake.
There's, okay, so I don't play Fortnite, but I, every once in a while, I see all of the skins and, like, characters that they add to that right. game. Like, I just, they're catering to us I in know. A lot of those cases. I know. So like, I can understand it.
They put Chris and Jill in the game, and it's the Chris skin from Resident Evil 5 where he punches the boulders, the beefy Chris.
Didn't they put like Ariana Grande into
yes because Caitlin my daughter Fortnite. Asked for that skin. It's a rad skin pack, like the Ariana like, Grande.
I didn't
skin
even
pack
know that you could put a real person into Fortnite.
Stuff is weird in Fortnite. So I feel like I've gone back in time a few years. I played Tetris and Fortnite. It's been a weird week for me. Oh, and I booted up Pikmin Bloom, which I know we have a news story on, so I can talk about it.
Oh, okay, okay. So I played that too. I totally forgot. So it came, we'll talk, you know, when it gets to the headline, but I did boot up that a little bit. I'm not entirely sure what the premise of the game is supposed
Same.
To be, like what I'm supposed to be doing.
Same. The Pikmin, you give them the nectar and they go find you the things and they bring you the things and then you plant them for more Pikmin, but I've only played it like 15 minutes. I was in a car. Okay.
Same.
That's basically it for me. Lots of little things.
How far did you get in Dread so far?
I have defeated the third Emmy. So I don't want to spoil for people who, I forget okay. which power up. I do not have the Morph Ball yet. Let me say that.
Okay.
I know that's more like.
You get the Morph Ball pretty late in this game.
Yeah,
usually you get it as one of like the first or second item.
Yeah. So I'm in the first half of the game. I did get my Switch OLED though. So, finally.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Talk about that a little bit.
So, it's beautiful. Like, what Garrett said on the last episode rings very true. Like, it feels like a sizable, like, upgrade. Like, it feels like a new piece of tech. The screen is beautiful. It feels, like, nicer to hold. And it's not it's a bigger screen by a little bit, but it feels like a lot of real estate. So, I've been playing, like, so then I booted up Tetris 99 on my fancy new screen. And that's all I did.
Nice. Okay.
But it's beautiful.
Okay.
Tetris 99 Guys. On the fancy new screen is beautiful. So big fan of the OLED.
Yeah.
So, I guess I've dipped into a lot of little things this week. But, yeah, it's been good.
It's been Excellent. Good. Garrett, what have you been up to?
I've been really diving deep into just my schoolwork because I need to graduate on time. So I have not been playing too much. I've been playing a little bit of Metroid here and there. But I don't have time. I think I'm to the point of I'm pretty far into the game.
Okay.
I feel like I'm getting, well, I wouldn't say I'm close to the end because I look at the missile count. That's what I see in other videos. It's like, yeah, so I feel like I'm still halfway when I see it because
that kind
everyone
of depends
has like
depends because if you're watching somebody who's doing 100%, they might have like a lot of missiles, so you might be further than you think you are.
Yeah.
So I think I got to another plot twist that revives something else. I don't want to get into spoilers.
Don't spoil it yet. I'm not
think you're
there
pretty
yet.
Far.
Yeah. You're pretty far,
you're getting,
it sounds like.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm glad that game is short because I'm able to get... It's actually cool. You can actually play for like 10 minutes and then you get something. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, here's another thing. Another thing. It's like, okay, I feel like I'm not investing too much time, but I'm still getting little bits and pieces. So that's just what I've been playing so far. I've been dabbling into other games such as Skyrim, the N64 games, but not like diving deep into these games. I just want to see on the OLED screen every once in a while, just see how beautiful it is. That's pretty much it, guys.
So we're all having.
Other than that.
Yeah, we're all having the same kind of week.
That's what I've been.
Where we're like.
Yeah.
Nope.
It might be like this, but I do have stuff that I'm excited for the next coming week. So
me too.
When we get to those headlines, I'll talk about it.
Cool.
But, all right, let's get into the headlines for this week. The Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pass released on Monday. A little bit of a shaky start for a lot of players. There's been criticisms of poor emulation, including graphical issues such as lack of fog rendering, some reports of input lag, audio lag, frame rate issues. There's kind of an odd button mapping if you're like not playing on an actual N64 controller, like with the C-stick is mapped to, I think, the right analog stick. The A and B buttons are kind of swapped than what you would expect them to be because of a different layout than what the actual N64 controller was. Did either of you get the expansion pass?
I did not. I might do it. I haven't decided yet. I'm kind of waiting for that Animal Crossing expansion to DLC to drop first.
Got it.
I think that's when I would give it a shot. So,
did you get it, Garrett?
Because I'm in a family plan that's with very nice people, I do have the expansion pass. If I was not in it, I probably wouldn't be in it. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
I joined a family plan to pay $10 for the year for it. And that's that's an extremely comfortable price for me because I am getting the Animal Crossing DLC. That's one of the main reasons why I want it. So $10 a year for that and the N64 and Sega Genesis games. That's a good deal. I'm happy about that. I did spend a little bit of time this past couple days playing some of the stuff. I played some Ocarina of Time. I checked out Mario Kart 64. I checked out some of the other games. I can see, they're every once in a while, you have those frame rate issues, the graphic issues, they're noticeable in some of the games. I feel like everything's been very playable. To me, I didn't have any input lag or audio lag or anything like that.
Good.
The button mapping is a little bit weird for me, but I got used to it. I tried earlier today Mario Kart 64 online to play with other players. And so I had two scenarios where I played with two other people. I played it one with somebody who lives a state away from me and somebody who lives over in Morocco and was very far away from their router. He said that he was on the complete opposite side of his house. And there were some hiccups. There were a couple where it came up and said low connection when we were racing. But we held a connection for the entire race.
Good.
We played a few of them. So it was playable. He said if he had moved closer to his router, it would have been a lot better. Then I played without him and just the person who was also, here in the United States. And it was pretty flawless. Good. I've been seeing a lot of videos of people with severe issues. And I haven't had any of those severe issues with really lagging visuals, really lagging frame rate. I haven't seen any of that in my experience, when I've been playing this week. So sure those issues exist. We're seeing video of it, but I don't think it's all as bad as it's cracked up to be. It is kind of lazy emulation. I'm gonna admit that. I think for 25-year-old games, I'm not expecting these to play perfectly. There were glitches and hiccups in the original hardware. Yeah, it's lazy. $10 a year. I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, for what you're paying, that seems very reasonable. But if you're a single person paying $50 a year, that's maybe a harder sell.
I don't think you should do it.
I think you should just buy the Animal Crossing DLC, y'all.
I wouldn't advise getting an individual plan for a year. I would say find eight people, get your family plan if you really want this. I haven't even touched the Genesis games yet. I do want to try out some of them because I didn't have a Genesis growing up.
Yeah.
There's
good stuff on that list. I mean, there's other ways to play those Genesis games, but, you got it, so why not play it,
Yeah, but do I think they could do better? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do I think it could be cheaper? Yes. Am I having fun with it? Yes. Sure. So, I don't know. Take that as you will. Maybe I have low standards.
You see all the people that are finding the mistakes, finding the emulation mistakes, and that's fine. I'm glad that they're doing that and doing their due diligence with this emulation comparing to what we see in the community. But for me, the purpose of these games of being on Switch is not me diving into the emulation and the technical mishaps or whatnot. It's me just trying to enjoy a little bit of N64 games on my Switch. If I wanted flawless emulation, I know where to go to, and it's not on my Switch.
So there's one very interesting piece of takeaway that I've gotten from this in just Twitter discourse. It seems that Star Fox 64 holds up all these years later, and that is an amazing thing.
So good.
That is an amazing thing to me because that game, we're talking old now, and it's a lot of people keep saying this game holds up flawlessly, and that's really cool. So that one I might jump in just to play again. It's been a long time.
I
played the first mission of that one, and I felt the nostalgia because I knew the exact secret path of that first world, and I'm like, I'm exactly going that way. The only thing is the controls are a little wonky because A and B are kind of what A and B was on the N64 controller, so that's actually a different orientation in my head, but also two of the C-sticks is X and Y.
Those are so weird.
And you got to figure out which one. I think
the button mapping's bad.
It's not good. I've seen so, and it's different in every game. So, like, that's weird. Yeah, I don't. There's some problems with that. But, yeah, I'm just glad that game still holds up despite the criticisms of the service as a whole.
And it looks really great. That emulation of that game looks really
good. Yeah,
I'm
glad they got that one right. Good. Mm-hmm.
The two other things I'll say about it, we have a couple questions, but the two other things I'll say is, number one, the clapping that you can do when you're playing online is so hysterical. You can use it to, like, distract people or just kind of annoy them. That part's really funny. Oh my god, and then the second one just slipped out of my head.
No,
but I will think of it. I know, I hate when that happens.
All good.
I'll come back to it. I'll think of it. Zach wanted to know, for those who feel like the price hike of Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pass is too much, I keep calling it pass. It's pack. Why do I keep calling it
expansion
pass?
It's expansion pack.
It is expansion pack. Yep. And I have been missaying that the whole time.
It's all good.
He says, if you feel like the price is too much, what do you feel needs to be or could be done to justify and fully make it worth getting? For those who feel the price hike is fine, why do you think so? Do any of us think the price is fine?
No, it's too high.
No.
Well, the only reason it would be fine is that every single family member wants Animal Crossing DLC.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. Right. If every single individual account needs that DLC, sure.
Well, if even four want it, that makes up the amount.
Even four.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think for me, the price is pretty high. I would say, like, just give us, I would give us more games up front. Like,
yes.
Even with SNES, like, the library is just kind of barren at this point. And I just don't feel enticed to go back. Like, I feel like Nintendo needs to kind of do a little bit more and reoccur a little bit more games to keep me invested, keep me interested in this game. And that could justify a price, a little bit higher price.
I think there's no excuse for the drip feed or the slow adding. Or for first party.
I think my counter, my additional point would be, if you're not going to do that, if you're not going to give us more upfront, give us a roadmap in the short term. Like, if I knew I was getting the Animal Crossing DLC now, that kind of justifies a year of the price. Very right on the border. It does. Right? Mm-hmm. So now give me a roadmap for what to expect in the future to make these, to incentivize keeping the product, right? Like, that's what they really need to do. Because if you want the Animal Crossing DLC, even on an individual plan, that's $25. You'd be getting the N64 and Genesis stuff for $5 extra for the year. Fine. Yeah. But the roadmap going forward then becomes important, because what does the next year look like for that $30? So tell me, show me the value add of what Nintendo 64 games, what Genesis games in the next year that you're going to add to justify back my cost. That's all. I would be happy enough with that. I would be okay with that.
Yeah. I think so too. I do feel for the people who aren't interested at all in the Animal Crossing DLC. And I wonder how many more subscriptions they could sell if they said, okay, you know what, we'll also offer, you'll get Splatoon DLC included with this, you'll get the Breath of the Wild DLC included with this. Like, all these first party games were like, the people who really wanted that DLC have already bought it, but maybe it'll draw in a couple more. Maybe it'll make people a little bit more interested if they are not into Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if they're going to add DLC like that to the online service, maybe expand that a little bit more. But, yeah, make it worth the price.
Agree.
I don't think any of us think it's fine the way it is. And I also saw XBS in chat asked if they are done with adding NES and SNES editions, since those are in the base sub. I think I read that there was an interview where they said that they still plan to continue adding more.
I hope so. Because there are missing pieces.
I'm not
pieces.
Holding out hope.
I
know there's missing pieces, but
big things, I would expect more of like your Ghost Lion type ads.
Most random games. I expect bottom.
There are some type of games. Nintendo published joints that are not on there, and I am upset. So,
you know what I could also see them doing? I could also see them saying, okay, expansion pack members.
Oh, you get extra.
Here's your Earthbound. Super Mario RPG. Here's your Chrono Trigger.
That would be a level of crappy that, that's pushing
that's
it.
That's the next
level. That's pushing
stuff.
It. That would
be bad.
That would be pushing it.
That would be bad.
That would feel gross.
It would feel extremely gross.
That would feel gross.
I hope I'm wrong.
I can't believe you put it out there. You put it out there into the universe. Now it's going to come
so
true.
I'm so sorry. Hopefully.
You just give Nintendo that
stop
idea.
Stop giving them like, ideas for free.
Clipped and posted online when it does happen.
The ghost of Nana is going to hold this one forever. Now when it happens, she's going to haunt me. Damn it. Right.
Adam says, I received my N64 Online controller today. Thoughts on using an N64 controller for the Switch Online games? Yay for the authentic experience, or nah, I want to use a modern controller. I feel like before this service released, I would have said, the N64 controller is kind of clunky. It's kind of weird and awkward to hold.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I kind of wish
I had one now.
I bought one because they end up being collector's items too, because they don't make that many of them, especially the NES ones and the SNES ones. I think I get it over the weekend, so I will report back. But the way the mapping is working out, I would rather just have the controller. And that's saying a lot.
100%.
Because that controller is horrendous. So, like, it's not my favorite.
I do love my Super Nintendo one that I bought. I like it a lot.
Those are so nice. So I'm curious to get my hands on this one to see how it feels. This is how I say hands, with my hands.
They feel authentic.
The bad thing about N64 controllers, there's no really good alternative replacement.
Yes, there is. But it's not on the Switch. There is a company that makes Brawler 64 controllers that I bought for my actual N64 that essentially shifts it to a second stick type of scenario. It's great.
Oh, that's so
cool. I'll put a picture on Twitter tonight at some point or after the episode goes live. They are great. If you own an N64, they are amazing. And they make wireless versions, too. You put a dongle in the N64.
Ooh.
They're fantastic.
Oh, that's
they're really
cool.
good. So this is doable.
They should make a Bluetooth one for the Switch, though.
I would love that.
Give me an 8-bit, though.
Yeah, give me an 8-bit,
N64.
Yeah, get on an 8-bit,
controller.
Though.
I'll post a link to these controllers. So if you do have an N64 and you play games, I played Doom 64 with this thing on hardware, and it was
nice.
Awesome. I highly recommend.
Nice.
Speaking of Nintendo Switch Online, a data mine suggests that there are plans for at least 38 N64 games and 52 Genesis games coming to the service.
Wow.
That's a lot.
This comes from Mondo Mega on Twitter. For comparison, if you don't know what's already on the service, there's only 9 N64 titles right now and 14 Genesis, so that's quite a bit more. I don't even think I could name anywhere close to 38 first-party N64 titles. So this would have to be a mix of first and third-party. Now, they're saying the list is alphabetical, so you can fill in some of the gaps already. So we know that Majora's Mask is already going to be added. Apparently, Smash Melee, or not Melee, 64.
The regular one.
is in there. Apparently, Wave Race is in there.
I think
they're able to fill in some gaps there and see what might be coming. Again, we don't have any timeline of how often these are going to be added, or if they're just titles in the system and they really do plan on adding them, but man,
that's out there. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how long that's going to take too, because you know how the SNES games are going. There's just drip by drip, but the Switch lifespan, I'm just wondering about the lifespan of the system now. It's is it going to go for another 3 or 4 years with N64?
That would be a long time.
We got that.
There's two ways
to
go.
We got that for the others.
It could it could do that, or they could port this service forward and actually support their services in the next revision of hardware. Now, which one seems more likely? The hardware sticks around for 3 more years seems more likely, because Nintendo just doesn't do that. They didn't do it with Virtual Console. They don't do that well. So I don't know. I can hope.
Yeah. So cool. We'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic. I hope Super Smash Brothers definitely comes into the N64. I hope most if not all first party N64 games eventually come around. But the real testament's next year.
Yeah.
Next, the rate of which N64 games come out next year. Yep. Will be pretty big.
I will admit, I've had a lot of fun these past couple days playing Mario Kart 64, just because, and I've never actually owned this game.
Oh.
I played it back in the day, just at other people's houses and stuff, but I never owned it. So a lot of this feels new to me. So it is kind of nice to have new Mario Kart content that I haven't been playing for the past 8 years in Mario Kart 8. So
I liked Mario Kart 64.
I do hope they add things like Pokemon Stadium and Smash, just for the sake of having another new experience kind of thing. So we'll see. I would like news on that soon. Kind of a somewhat surprise release. Pikmin Bloom, Niantic's latest mobile game, is out now. So it's Niantic, the creators of Pokemon Go, Ingress, Harry Potter, Wizards Unite, just like those Pikmin Bloom uses real-world map, just like those other games. Now, this was, I think, announced back in March, but they didn't really tell us much about it.
Right, right.
The goal is to make walking more fun. You can grow, pluck, and gain friendship with Pikmin that you encounter on your walks. You can feed them nectar in order to plant flowers along your map. You can see the flowers that other people have planted. You can take AR photos of Pikmin, see the paths that you've walked, send your Pikmin out on expeditions while you're at home. It has been releasing worldwide, rolling out over the past couple days, and this morning it did release in the United States. So I downloaded it. Elaine, you said you downloaded it.
I grabbed it too.
I checked it out a little bit. I did it while I was eating lunch at work, and I plucked a couple Pikmin, and I got some nectar from them, and I walked around my building a little bit, and I planted some flowers, and then I didn't know what to do next.
Same. That's where exactly where I was at, except I was, like, you know, walking around the grocery store. But same basic idea. And I'm just like, I don't know what you are, video game. Like, I love Pikmin. I should be clear. I love
It's cute.
Pikmin.
It's very cute.
Pikmin are cute. So I want to go send them after things. I want to go have, like, mini boss battles with my Pikmin. Like, give me something to do.
That's kind of, I mean, it feels like it's a pacifist version of Pokemon Go.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. There's less fighting.
There's no fighting. I don't know if your Pikmin can die in this, which makes it nice for me because I don't like Pikmin games because...
You don't like the dying? Their little ghost comes out of their body and floats upwards.
Oh, Elaine, do not know this about me. That game stresses me out so much. I love the world of Pikmin so much. I love the characters. I love the Pikmin themselves. But it just, the time limit and the dying, I can't do it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked playing the flowers. I like that it counts my steps. Mm-hmm. I like that it's kind of encouraging me to walk a little bit more. So I'll see if it sticks. I don't know what else to do in it.
I hope they keep adding things to it to give something to do. I'm curious to see how it fleshes out because Pokemon Go was really bare bones in the beginning too. So I'm trying to give them some leeway. And like Niantic does make good games that are at least compelling to keep playing. So we'll see. I'm curious. I love Pikmin though. Give me all the Pikmin.
Yeah, I think it's a cute concept. I've been saying for years how much I wanted a Nintendogs mobile game.
Oh God.
And I think there's a lot of concepts in this game, in Pikmin Bloom, that I thought would have been really good in a Nintendogs game. So I'm hopeful that maybe this could be something good. Yeah, I don't know. I'll see if it sticks.
Yeah, I'm curious too. Maybe we'll check in next week and see if both of us are still playing it.
Maybe there might.
Or you just drop it.
I noticed I was able to unlock a couple more things. My level increased and I got some medals and that kind of allowed me to do some other things. I got different Pikmin types. So I'm wondering what the different types do. Mm-hmm. So I'll play it for a couple days. I'll see what happens with that.
Yep, same.
Is there an actual game mechanic behind it?
Or so are you far. Just...
Walking. Walking
it's
is
just
the
walking?
Mechanic.
Growing the Pikmin. That's where we're at. I got nothing.
Yeah. At least Pokemon Go, you catch Pokemon and you battle
you
now.
You grow the Pikmin. Yeah. Okay. You grow yourself an army. Don't you want an army of tiny creatures to do
that
your bidding?
You can press the little whistle and get them all to run towards you, and I think I like that part.
I like that part, too.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go forth, my minions. Find me things.
I really need to play Pikmin 3. I have it in the backlog.
It's good.
Mr. Pig 14 wants to know what's our favorite Pikmin game and why.
Pikmin 2 is my favorite. Now, I'm trying to remember if I finished Pikmin 3. I did not play Pikmin 3 on Switch. I played it on Wii U. So I didn't play it on Switch. 2 was the one that stuck with me the most. 2 is just the one I liked the most. It kind of removed some of the stressors from 1, but and added Pikmin types, and it was just right for me. It fell right in the middle.
Cool.
My favorite Pikmin game is Bingo Battle from Pikmin 3.
The mini games.
There you go.
Love it.
The mini games.
Mini games.
I haven't played Pikmin. I'm sorry.
What?
So I can't. I'm sorry.
It's a strategy game. It's built for you.
I know. I've heard it's a pretty good game that I would fit into, but I just never drawn attention to that series at all.
They're so cute.
I'm sorry.
They're fun strategy games.
Pikmin 3 is on my short list.
I'm not gonna yell at you.
50,000 other games.
I just really like those cute little guys. I have a couple of
your favorite Pikmin game is the Garden of Hope stage in Smash.
Oh my god.
Yes. No, Super Smash Brothers. Olimar is pretty good. This is for Smash Brothers. I can destroy people with my Pikmin in there.
Nice.
I will murder you.
You throw the Pikmin into other characters and they damage.
This is why the Pikmin is so good. They will do your bidding. Go force.
Exactly. Bingo Battle. If they sold me a $60 Bingo Battle game, I would buy it.
Rebecca.
The only reason why I didn't buy Pikmin 3 Deluxe is because they didn't have online Bingo Battle in it. Because your Pikmin, aren't gonna die and you're not time limit or anything, and you can just go around and find the fruit and fill out your board, and it's fantastic.
I stop putting ideas in Nintendo's head. Stop giving them ideas to charge me $60 for games that you're not. You have to be stopped today. This is very spooky. You're in the spirit of this Halloween nonsense. I hate it. What's next? Help me. Save me.
In some not so nice news, Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp has been delayed. It was originally supposed to release this year on December 3rd. It now has a release window of spring 2022. Nintendo said it needs a little more time for fine tuning. I was getting a little bit suspicious about this game getting delayed when, number one, they didn't tweet about it at all. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah.
And then number two, for Twinfinite, a few weeks ago, I attended a holiday preview event that kind of gave an overview of all of their games that are releasing this holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't included in their presentation. And Big Brain Academy, which also releases on December 3rd, was on there. Oh. So I even asked them, I said, you didn't talk about Advance Wars, or is that still planned for release? And they're like, yeah, it's still coming out.
Lies.
Like, really? Because you didn't talk about it at all. You didn't even mention it. Lies. They're like, yeah. Which, to be fair, they might not have known that it was going to get delayed. Oh, but I got a little bit suspicious that it wasn't included there.
If they need more time, it's fine to bump it. There's too many video games right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the right answer. That's the right thought line. I just find it interesting. They went from an actual specific date
to a window.
Now just a broad window.
That doesn't say tweaks. That says
problem. That says it needs to be worked on.
There's something going on in testing that they came up with. It isn't working for people.
Yeah.
But... we'll see.
I've been seeing people say, what? This is a remake? Why is it taken so... This is from the ground up. This isn't a remaster or anything. This is starting from scratch. And in some ways, I feel like that can take even longer if you're trying to stay true to the original source. Yeah. So.
And it's outsourced, too.
That's true.
Way Forward, right?
It is Way Forward.
Way Forward is doing it. I was very excited for this game, but I'm kind of glad that it's happening right now because of Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Pokemon coming out.
And you have Age of Empires this week. We're good.
Listen,
tell me that.
We're good.
I don't think that next year is going to be much better in terms of having time because you're going to be having Kirby, you're going to be having Splatoon, you're going to be having Pokemon Legends, Arceus, lot of games coming out next year. 2022, assuming there's no major delays for those kind of titles.
That's okay. Everything has been delayed from this year into February of next year. So clearly, Garrett, everything will be cleared off your plate by spring. It'll be fine. What could go wrong?
It'll be okay. We'll just have 500 games to play. I just think of Pokemon Shin Megami Tensei because those are the kind of the genre, I think, with Advance Wars. Strategy. RPG kind of games. Yeah. So I'm thinking of that audience, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. Spring 2022, it doesn't sound hopeful to me. Mm-hmm. That sounds like maybe June.
Yeah, I mean,
I can see it being a June game. That's a good June.
June
game,
is not a bad window to drop a game like this in, though. That wouldn't be terrible.
I feel it's a right before E3 type of game, kind of like how Mario Golf was this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The people who really want to play it will play it, and everyone else will wait a little while, and it's fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Metroid Dread gets a free demo on the eShop. It's available now. I was trying to, search the internet a little bit to see what the demo consists of, if it's a time limit or if it's just the first area. I wasn't really seeing much, but I wonder, why are they putting out a demo after the game has released? Are they not selling as many as they hoped?
I think that's interesting. The other thing to note, the one thing that is going around, is there is no save and transfer into the full game.
There is not.
It is a standalone demo. So when you do that, it's not a compelling reason. Like, it's a hard sell. You got to replay that section. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, I hate that.
Especially for a game like Metroid, I feel like you would want to carry over your progress. You don't want to do those sections again.
And it comes in pretty hot. It's not like it's making you sit through a bunch at the beginning. You go. You're just going. You know? So there's no reason for this. If they could just give you the first, I don't know, 15, 20 minute demo even. 30 minutes is generous for a game this long. So, but...
Now, I wonder if this demo would, if this is the kind of demo that would sell Dread to people who maybe were on the fence, because I feel like demos sales more often than they help. And I'm wondering if, like, if you're unsure and you're playing the first couple minutes of it, like, is that enough to suck you in?
I would say yes, but I like the genre. So this is difficult. And for a lot of people, there are people out there who have not touched a 2D Metroid. They may have played Prime, but they never went to the 2D side-scrolling Metroid. So they might be like, I liked Prime, but will I like this? And maybe I don't like this off the screenshots, but maybe if I play it. I don't know. This is a tough one. I feel like this is genre like this. You just got to like the genre. Like, you just have to.
Well, I think the reason why the demo is after the game, I see this, like, every so often. But, like, it's meant to be an introduction. It's not meant to anticipate fans to get into the game. Now there's like this level of difference between, like, let's say Dragon Quest or something like that. That's two. How many hours do you get? You get 10 hours.
It's
I
a
think,
long
or,
time.
Or five.
You get a lot.
It's a very long.
But it's
demo.
A 100-hour game. So it's
a, get, out of a 100-hour game. Right. So it's trying to, like, get you into the, like, the mechanics of it, and, like, I just think it's doing it's the same thing, but for people that, as Rebecca said, kind of on the fence. They see this game and they see it being played all around on Twitter or word of mouth or whatever, and it's a Nintendo published game and they've never seen it before. Of course, this is a good introduction. Is there other first party games that have done this? I'm trying to think. I think
a demo
there was
after release.
Yes, demo after release. I think it has been done before.
Yeah,
they
have. And I got to give them credit because the art that they released on Twitter for this with the pumpkin with the sort of visor cut out of it is cool. You know, like I can't remember. There's got to have been at least one more first party game.
I don't remember what game it was, but I do remember there was a demo that came out, like, long after the game
released. Yeah, that's happened too. I mean, if they had this ready to go, or maybe this was targeting a specific region where it wasn't doing well, but they just dumped it out to everybody. Who knows? I hope more people play it. I hope this game does well, because I want more of this kind of Metroid, personally. So,
Same. So if you were on the fence, try it out. Doesn't hurt. There are a number of games releasing this weekend that I think might interest people.
Let's go.
Two of them people might have forgotten about. Today, Fatal Frame Maiden of Black Water released. This is a Wii U remaster. It's perfect for Halloween. I didn't play the original. In fact, I've never played a Fatal Frame before.
Donnie is yelling for joy.
Yeah, it's it was Wii U
did
only.
Did he enjoy it?
I think he...
Oh, he's a huge Fatal Frame fan. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah.
He's been playing it. He does not dislike it. He was talking about it a bit on the PSVG show that we recorded this week. So there's some impressions. It is also a $40 game. So worth noting, it is sort of budget priced for those of you who care.
I will be picking that up this weekend.
Same.
So you'll hear my impressions with that next week. A little Halloween kind of weekend game to play. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity DLC Wave 2 releases tomorrow, Friday, if you're listening to the podcast. It's called Guardians of Remembrance, new stories with new battles, new stages, playable characters, Pura and Robbie. I forgot about this.
I did too. I have forgot completely.
I don't care.
This came out? Yeah. This is coming out still? Okay, cool.
I played the base game with my kids and it was fine. I did not bother with the expansion stuff. I'm good. I've had my fill. I'm good.
And I feel so bad because I'm such a big Zelda fan, and I, like, wish I was very excited about this. I'm just not a Hyrule Warriors fan.
Same.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's okay. Like, it's okay not to like things.
I know, and I feel really bad, like, kind of crapping all over this because I know the people who are excited about this are really excited about it.
Yes.
Oh, good
they
for
want
them.
More
yeah.
content. They want to, like, max us out and 100% and, you know, do everything they can do with the characters and get all the weapons and I'm excited.
Get 100% of everything. Yeah. I understand that. I understand being the completionist if you're a huge fan.
This is a good game for completionists.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
There's
so
a lot
go
to
for
do.
It.
Yeah, there's a lot, yeah. lot to do.
I did the same thing for like games like Fallout 4.
Yep.
I know Fallout 4 is not a great game, like really a great game, but I 100% everything in that game. I just love to be a completionist sometimes. So I completely understand people wanting to get into this DLC.
Yeah, agree.
Ooh, they're saying in chat, what if this DLC was included in
this
the
would be
a,
I could see this one happening because I feel like that would have been cool. They got next year, they could still do this. This would be a good candidate. Yeah.
This is who does this game though? Is it Bandai that does this game?
I think
who does no, it's Koei Tecmo.
No, Koei Tecmo.
Tecmo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would probably need to have them on board for it if they were going to offer that. I might try the DLC if it was included. Yeah.
Yeah. I would play it if it was free or quote unquote free. Yeah, I'd play it. Absolutely.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not rushing to play it. Though.
Eventually.
I wouldn't put that cartridge in that console. It would have to be.
That sounds hard.
It would have to be digital.
Yeah.
It sounds very hard.
That sounds challenging.
Oh, I feel so bad for saying that though. Okay.
Especially on an over.
The one that I think most people are excited for is Mario Party Superstars. Also releases tomorrow, yes. Friday.
Oh.
It's getting good reviews on Metacritic. It's sitting at a 79 on Metacritic, an 80 on OpenCritic, which
nice
might sound on the low end, but it's actually, if I am not mistaken, the highest rated Mario Party ever.
Really?
I think.
And some people I've seen impressions saying it's their favorite, and that's an interesting impression to have, because I mean Mario Parties like 2 and 3 on the N64 and 1 were super good. I have a copy showing up tomorrow. I'm excited. I've got a bajillion kids in my life now to play this video game with. We can all hate each other like when you play Monopoly and someone flips the board over. That's the way every game of either Mario Kart or Mario Party ends, right? Someone ends up, the game
totally
screws you, you get pissed off, and people yell at each other. And then you do it again.
Totally.
You keep doing it.
I will also...
Then you just get you drinking game.
Oh, no, I would die.
I wasn't going to pick this up, but I think I'm going to also... The highlights of the reviews that I'm reading say the minigames are just fun. Mm-hmm. There's good online, which is the reason why I'm going to get it, because I want to play these online with people. They said that if a player drops out online, it just replaces them with an NPC so you can continue playing.
Perfect. Good. I'm excited for this.
The other highlights are it brings back older gameplay mechanics that people enjoyed, so no more like everyone driving around in a car type thing. Mm. They're also saying the modern visuals look nice, so it's kind of that... Do you know how, like, you think when in your brain how a game from your childhood looks like is so much nicer than what it actually looked like?
Yes.
They're saying that it kind of looks like what you thought it looked
That's
like back
cool.
in the day.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. This will be fun. This is a good time for something like this for me.
Some of the negatives that people are saying, the small selection of characters and boards. I feel like DLC, like free DLC will probably be added to kind of fix that. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be worried too much about that. But
yeah.
Those are the negatives that people are saying about it.
I'm pumped. I'm excited for this. This was like, my brain has kind of been fried lately. I think all of us have been going through this. So I'm excited to have something that I don't have to like think about too much, you know, like I can just have fun with and play.
Yeah,
I totally get that. Yeah.
I feel like I'm in the minority where I have a lot more fun playing. Like, I like Mario Party for the minigames.
Yes, that's the best part.
The boards, like, I'll do, but I've never, I guess, like, historically had people to play the boards with, like, the main part of the game. So I would just have fun with the minigames. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited for the online aspect of
This should be a blast. I'm really looking forward to this. I get a copy this weekend. So post-Halloween candy binge. Maybe I'll see if I can get my kids to play.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, those are the headlines. We have, as always, an awesome list of questions here, so we got plenty of time. Oh my gosh, we kind of flew through those headlines today.
Yeah, and none of us have been playing anything, so like, you know.
Well, it's not big news either, it's just bits and pieces.
It's okay, it's a good time to have a chill, like, pre-Halloween Sugar Rush episode. It's already haunted.
I need a chill week.
Yeah, we all need a chill week, dude. We all need an early bedtime. We are all getting rapidly aged here.
Don't remind us.
Use your wrinkle cream, Garrett. Okay, God. Don't.
Oh, yeah, my facial cream. Yeah, be honest.
You got to get the night cream under the eyes. Get your night cream out.
On the eyes, too. Yeah, just hide my blackness
under Can someone please Photoshop Garrett with, like, the cucumbers and the cream and a robe?
There we go.
I need the spa, Garrett.
Some of that self-care.
I need
love
that spa, Garrett, yeah.
I really do, actually. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, someone give him that.
All right. John 32 had a couple questions for us. He says, now that Dread has come and gone, what's the next Switch title that you are most looking forward to? I am picking up Fatal Frame and Mario Party to try both of them out. But I think the next game that I'm, like, excited for... Mm-hmm. I don't know if the Animal Crossing DLC counts. I'm really excited for that.
I am too.
I'm excited for a PC game that comes out on November 5th. Don't look at me like that, Garrett.
We're both looking
Let's
at you like
build
this.
A zoo. It's a zoo simulator. That's so cute. And it's has like 300 different animals in it, or like 3,000 or something. You could like make hybrid animals. And
what?
It has like the pixel graphics, and I played the demo.
A Minotaur? I gotta go.
Like, you can breed like a cow and a chicken to make a chickow.
Okay.
Like, can you make a centaur? Let's build a zoo.
Probably.
Okay, I'm gonna play this. Probably. I'm gonna make nightmares.
Yeah, let's build a zoo.
I'm gonna make nightmares. I mean, a zoo.
And there's a whole more... This is eventually coming to Switch, but like... not soon. So I'm playing on PC. There's also a deep morality system where you can like raise these animals and like slaughter them for their meat if you want to, or like do like black
like my dad.
You could do like black market trades like underground, or you can
what
play
is this game?
You can play really like peacefully and like, you know, raise animals nicely and like save animals from going extinct and save them from slaughterhouses.
This is horrible.
They thought of everything.
This is what nightmares are made of. I'm gonna need to look up a trailer.
There's
for this
lots
immediately
of
customization
after... for making your zoo really pretty.
Pretty zoo, where we murder the animals. Again? Yeah, it's called Let's Build a Zoo.
It's called Let's Build a Zoo.
I'm making a note. Yeah. I'm gonna need.
I'll need to look this up.
Oh yeah, this is gonna.
I'm very excited for it. I'm sad that it's coming out the same day as the Animal Crossing update, so I might not play it like right away.
Let's build a murder zoo and help our villagers all in the same day.
Yes.
How ironic.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the next, like, new Switch game that I'm excited for is Pokemon Diamond.
It's Pokemon for me, too. I just looked at my list of what's coming out the rest of this year as Pokemon. So, definitely.
Yeah, Pokemon I'm very excited for, and Shin Megami Tensei V. That's
That's
most anticipated game of the year.
Mid-November?
I'm ready to go.
Good God.
That's 2 days before Pokemon. I think it's, like... very close.
I think I ordered. I think I pre-ordered a special edition of that game.
Or 4 days.
I should probably check
my
Amazon. Yeah. Things are happening.
Right.
I made mistakes. Mistakes were made.
But I probably won't start Pokemon immediately. It's gonna be Shin Megami Tensei for quite a while until
I mean, that's fair. Like, it's not Pokemon. Like you're gonna get spoiled with like you're not gonna read things that are gonna spoil Pokemon.
Yeah. I mean, you've
I already know
it
what happens.
Yeah,
in there.
The Shin Megami game is going to be a long game anyway, though. You're going to be in it for a minute. So that was not intended to rhyme.
Oh, it's
going to
be so much fun.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have no sleep during that time because I think my thesis is like due around
Good
during
luck,
that
sir.
Time as well. So.
Godspeed.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Godspeed. Mm-hmm. So.
John also wanted to know our opinion on the difficulty of Dread's bosses. He says, I thought... it was a throwback to some of the older gaming generations, gave you a sense of accomplishment once you got it. What do you think about the bosses?
I haven't played too many. I've just done the Emmy stuff. But I have said this before, I enjoy games with challenging bosses as long as the challenging doesn't feel cheap and it just feels like get better and you will conquer it. So I love Dark Souls and stuff like that because of that reason. It feels satisfying to have completed it. Hollow Knight was one of those games for me as well. So I'm like two thumbs up on that personally, especially in a shorter game.
I think it's fine. And as Elaine said, it's those types of bosses where there is a level of good difficulty in there, and you die a lot initially. But once you know the path, once you know what they're doing, it gets easier and easier and easier as you go through the trial. So like for me, I probably die like. I don't know, 15 times, 20 times with a boss until I figure it out. It's like, okay, they're going to do this, they're going to do that.
Yep.
And that's how speedrunners work. I see people beat the game, and now they're beating the game the second time in 6 hours, and then the third time for under 3 hours, because they know exactly what to do in those bosses now. And they just become, I wouldn't say easiest thing in the world, but like you just know what to do, and you just go through it. So I think it's a fine difficulty.
Yep.
To go, it's just a hurdle to go over.
Yeah. I agree with everything that you said, Garrett. The bosses do become predictable. You know, the first time going into each of the boss battles, I felt like, oh my God, what is going on? This is impossible. I'm never going to beat this boss. And then you're right. You learn the pattern. I felt myself improving every single time I tried it.
Me too.
the final boss took me hours.
I've heard it's pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard.
But it didn't get to the point where it was frustrating. Like, I did feel myself improving, and I did learn the pattern.
Yeah.
So I agree, John, that I did like that. And the other good thing that I don't think we mentioned was it doesn't set you back super far after you die from a boss. Like, it doesn't take you all the way back to the save station. It puts you right back before the door.
I like that.
Of yes. The boss's room, and it's a pretty quick load time, so you're like, you're die, right there, quick, yeah. Go back in and try again. So I didn't feel like in Super Metroid, where you have to trek through like a whole long area again, and you lose all of your health in the process. So
yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. I feel like that's very generous too for this variety of game, because Hollow Knight's like, good luck, sucker. So yeah, generous.
Yep. Okay, TPR says, in the spirit of Halloween, describe your spookiest Nintendo gaming experiences. He says, for me, I think it had to be the pitch black Boo houses in Super Mario World. I was always comfortable seeing Boos around, but no light was jarring, and definitely made a relief. Was definitely a relief to finish those levels. Mm. Do you have any spooky gaming experiences?
I have two. So I bought the GameCube when I was in college, and I played Resident Evil 4 for the first time when I lived in an apartment alone in a night in the dark. And you get to the castle area where you can constantly hear chanting, and it scared the bejesus out of me. Like, I wasn't playing scary games at the time. I was horrified. That one was really scary. And then also my first time running through Eternal Darkness on the GameCube was just a terrifying experience, just all around. Like, all of it was scary. Nothing felt okay. Everything was terrible. So my most memorable ones were probably both GameCube games. So
okay,
cool. I think the Boo levels or the Dark Ghost levels in Super Mario World, it's a pretty good callback. I remember being stuck on those levels quite often, and I was getting a little frustrated. But yeah, once you pass those levels, pretty fun. I think another one that actually was very recent, like last year, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah, it was spooky.
Was it scary?
I mean, I wouldn't say very scary, but it got me in the Halloween spirit, and Luigi is so freaking adorable in that game. I love the character around it, and the liveliness of the like spookiness around the objects, and it's just everything about it screams Halloween. Yeah. So I would go for that, is Luigi's Mansion 3. One of my favorite Halloween experiences.
Yeah, that's good.
In
Nintendo. When I think of Halloween experiences, I think of Oxenfree for some reason.
Ooh, yes.
I've only played it once, but I think I played it Halloween night when I played it, and that game is a little bit creepy.
It's creepy.
I'm very excited for the sequel, but that game does a really good job of, like, it has, like, these purposeful glitches in it that like make you think your game is broken, and it kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit in some aspects, and I just love that. I love that kind of creepiness in games, so that's a really good Halloween game to play if you're looking for and it's like you can beat it in one night or like one sitting too. I think it's like 3 hours long.
It's short. It's so good. It's so well written. I mean, look, play Metroid Dread. You're going to constantly feel chased. It's very tense. I get very anxious and stressed out.
Very tense, yeah.
That scares the crap out of me. Stop chasing me. Leave me alone.
G-Man says, it's that time of year again. Jack-o'-lanterns, what's the best thing about Halloween that you three love to do during this spooky year? Do you have any, like, Halloween plans or traditions?
I mean, like, the coolest thing about having little kids is getting to trick-or-treat again and then getting to take all, well, take. I barter for the good candy, okay? But there's also plenty of candy that I like and my kids don't. Like, I love Almond Joy. My kids are not super into them. Katie will eat them. Nathan will not. So, like, I like getting little baggies of all the candy they don't want in exchange for something they do, like M&Ms or maybe extra Reese's Pumpkins. But basically, this is an excuse
Mike
for
me. Mike and
Ike's. I found Mike, I bought six boxes of sour Mike and Ike's. I walked into a CVS and I walked out with a feminine care product and six boxes of Mike and Ike's. So this week, I was a mood, like a whole...
Nice.
You gotta send some to Delvin.
He's gonna be.
Yeah. Did you do it in spite of?
Yeah, Delvin? I posted a picture. Like, I posted a picture on Twitter. If I didn't, I will send
it to him.
He was mad.
Have it show up in his mailbox on Halloween.
I love you, Florida man. Happy Halloween. My favorite thing about Halloween now is just like the post trick or treat candy sorting that I get to do with the kids, because it reminds me of being a little kid, and it makes me really happy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Do you have any traditions or celebrations that you do, Garrett?
I just like the Halloween spirit because I know fall is like in season. It gets cooler. You got football going on. You got just pumpkin everything. So like pumpkin spice latte. Yes. You got that pumpkin pie. And then like you go to Trader Joe's now, 50% of the products is pumpkin. So I'm definitely into that. But yeah, other than that, oh, the day after Halloween is the best day.
Yes.
Because of cheap Halloween candy.
Yeah, we don't get to go trick-or-treating, Aileen, so we have to go CVS the day after Halloween and get discounted
50% off candy.
We could trick-or-treat,
I don't know. You guys are young enough. You might get away with it, says the old lady who shakes her cane at you as you run away from my house. The sign said, take one, you whippersnappers. God. Don't egg my house.
I love Halloween. Halloween is my favorite holiday. Oh, I love dressing up. I love the spookiness. Like Garrett said, I love just the atmosphere and the cool and the pumpkins and the autumn leaves and the changing colors. I love Halloween so much. I live on a dead-end street with like hardly any kids in the neighborhood, so we don't get very many trick-or-treaters, and it makes me very, very sad. Aww. I always get so excited and want to give out candy, and kids don't come. Sometimes if we get two, it's like a big year. So,
wow.
Well, this is
I love Halloween.
You buy the candy and then you put it in the cool, you know, bin, and then they don't come, and then you eat the candy. I don't understand.
Then I
the
eat
problem.
It. That's true. That's true.
That sounds great.
I do work at an elementary school, and the office staff, were dressing up as Sesame Street characters.
Oh,
that's
cute.
Who are you, Bess?
So I'm Big Bird. So yes! We're like when we're dressing up means like we're having the character's face on a shirt and then like kind of accessorizing. Okay. So I'm Big Bird because apparently I'm also like the tallest one. So
that's very cute.
I like Big Bird. Big Bird's nice to everybody.
Everybody
so.
Wants to hug Big Bird. I don't see a problem. Yeah. Big Bird's great. Big fan.
Yes. Yarden wants to know, what's the most toxic metal?
People need to be banned from asking questions like this. Isn't it mercury?
Why is he asking?
I think I googled it. Mercury and lead.
Okay. Guys, I study this for
a while. It's mercury, right?
Okay. It depends on the form, but yes, right. Mercury, methyl mercury is probably by far the worst because it's so volatile and so easy to get to, and it's really a soft metal, so it can be in liquid, gas, or solid, and it gets everywhere. That's why
it can be a gas.
Yes,
that's elemental mercury. It's in gas form. That's why it comes out of like coal burning and oil production. It's a super bad contaminant.
Don't lick your old thermostats, please.
Other than that, yes, lead's pretty bad too because we've been just dumping it ever since coal burning ever started into the soil, so it's ubiquitous
and paint,
everywhere now.
They like have to warn you if it's in the paint.
Yeah, in old houses.
Don't breathe in the dust.
Yeah, that's
too.
True.
Like make sure you clean. Make sure you don't make your showers a little too high with hot vapor because that could have some exposure in the lungs as well.
Yarden, I have questions for you. Why you be asking this?
Cadmium. I googled it. Most toxic metals. Cadmium? What's that?
Well, cadmium is, sure. In a certain form, you can say any metal is pretty bad. Beryllium is very bad too. Zinc and copper, if you got enough in your system, that's bad as well. So cadmium, sure.
Don't eat the metals. We'll go. Stop eating the metals.
Do you say aluminum or do you say aluminium?
Aluminum.
What is it? Aluminum?
Aluminum.
Apparently in Britain they say aluminium.
Yes, aluminium.
They're always wrong with their words. Why would they do that?
I think we have some Brits who listen to this, so watch out.
I'm telling them they're wrong, so
I can't aluminium, the tweets. Like, I can read the tweets in my brain. They're not good. They're bad. They're so bad. Okay. See the future.
They put neighbor with a U. Like, come on. Like, what are you doing?
I'm not responsible for the opinions of this young man. Okay? I take no responsibility.
Hello, governor.
or his bad accents. Oh my god!
We should have a Shaq episode where we just speak in British accents the whole time and see.
We won't offend anyone.
Blimey.
I take it back. I want Garrett in a top hat with a monocle now. Someone. Yes. Curly mustache. Curly mustache. Get it. Photoshoppers.
Aluminium.
Stop that.
Mate. Oh. Get our fish and chips and all that.
That's like Australian.
What was that? Was that New Zealand? Where Australia. Did you go?
I like it.
I hate it so much.
We're gone places.
We have gone places. All right. None of them are good.
This is why you can't ask questions like this.
Yeah, stop!
Because we stray very far from the topic of video games.
I have a feeling that's why they ask us these questions, because they need to see how stupid we are.
I think they like this content. I think they want us to like have a non-gaming podcast and see how off the rails it goes.
Don't challenge me. I have a whole Twitter feed for that. I ask questions about toothbrushing. Just join me on Twitter. You want that? I got that for you.
Here. There you go. There you have it.
Have it.
There
okay,
you go.
Here's a gaming-related question coming from Hobiek.
Hi.
He wants to know who our starter Pokemon is going to be in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. He says Team Chimchar.
Always the fire starter.
Here's the thing.
Twisted fire starter.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I always, almost always pick the fire starter as well. Chimchar is my least favorite fire starter. I am not like really a monkey fan. I think monkeys are a little bit humanoid and creepy.
Okay.
In some ways.
So when you build your zoo, will there be monkeys? Will you transform them into something else? I have many questions.
Also, like chimpanzees can like eat your face and stuff. They're like kind of
dangerous.
Yeah,
they can maul you up.
Yeah, like they're scary. I'm afraid of monkeys. That's my confession. It's out there. The internet knows now.
You should never.
I'm not like afraid to see them. I think sometimes they can be cute and like I don't get scared. But
little
like,
tiny ones, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't enjoy monkeys.
I don't enjoy monkeys.
So I'm wondering what you're gonna do to the monkeys.
Right. I'm concerned about the zoo.
I'm very concerned.
Enjoy Chimchar. But here's another problem. Here's my other issue, is Sinnoh has a severe lack of fire types.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't get Chimchar, my only other option is Ponyta, which is okay.
Which is fine. Can you get an Alolan Ninetales out of it? I'm wondering.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know if they're going to do that.
I don't know.
Well, that's ice, so that eliminates the fire type.
It's Chimchar. I'm going to be the Iron Fire type.
I think, like, objectively, Piplup is the cutest.
I mean, yes, but the fire type's always so useful.
And I do like Empoleon a lot.
Empoleon's pretty good. Was it Turtwig?
Turtwig.
Is that the other one?
Yeah.
Who I love. Think Turtwig he's pretty is good. So cute. I think Turtwig is very, very cute. I just don't like whatever it is he evolves into that has a tree.
Oh, the latest evolution? Yeah. He's a tank.
Torterra.
Torterra. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to go Team Chimchar as well, because I always go with a fire starter with fourth and third gen.
I was
not as good as Blaziken, but...
Yeah, Blaziken's good. I was kind of hoping that you two would pick two different ones, and then I would pick the third one, and we could be rivals.
It's just, the fire type is objectively good, so, you know.
I know.
Plus, it's fun.
I may go with Turtwig.
Turtwig is also cool. I do like Turtwig. He's so cute. Oh, he's so cute.
I don't necessarily need a fire type in my party.
Fine, be like that. Be like, disrespect the fire type.
Fire type's my favorite, though.
Yeah,
me too. Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. I tend to do, like, I really formulate what my party's going to be throughout the game. And once I catch something, it's like, that's going to be in my party. I don't let go and switch around. So I gotta craft it very carefully if I don't need a fire type in my party. I think I'll be
that's
okay.
True.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We get the dragon, ghost, ice. You can do double types all the way through. I'll be down.
Good point. Kyle the Pug wants to know, who will everybody main in Mario Party Superstars? I forget who all the characters are.
Is Yoshi there? If Yoshi's there, I want to be Yoshi.
Yeah.
I'm Yoshi.
I think Birdo. I like Birdo.
Birdo
and Yoshi can hang. We'll hang out. I like Yoshi.
Yeah. I normally go with Luigi.
Oh, you like him.
He's a good one.
He is good.
He's one of the good ones, right?
He's a good one. He pinches cheeks. Your grandma.
Exactly.
Sweet man.
I'm trying to look for a list.
You're getting a list. You're going to go all the way.
I'm trying to look.
I always go.
Is there a full list? Is there more characters than I thought?
I thought it was just a typical. Yes, here are the playable characters: Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, Wario, Donkey Kong, Daisy, Waluigi, Birdo, and Rosalina.
Yes, it's gonna be Yoshi.
Oh,
okay. Put Rosalina.
Yeah, if you're doing Yoshi, I would do either Yoshi or Birdo.
Okay, so we're the dinosaur twins. Big fan.
I've always liked, and like, I don't know, it's kind of weird that this is the second time this is coming up, non-human characters, like the animal or beast type characters, more than,
as long as like, they're not a monkey.
Picking Mario or,
Donkey
Kong is out.
Not doing Donkey Kong, no.
What is this monstrosity? Why is this happening?
I don't dislike Donkey Kong. I think he's fine.
You have a personal vendetta against Donkey Kong?
But if I had to choose between Donkey Kong and Birdo, I would pick Birdo.
Well, Birdos can shoot eggs, which I have questions about from an anatomical point of view. But you know what? We're not going to do that today because that's going to be a
Birdo is just confusing in general.
Yeah, Birdo's scary, just, but I love it.
You just accept what it is and you're
good to go.
That's
the stuff that nightmares are made of. Like, giant pink monster that throws eggs out of its mouth at you is horrifying when you really like deconstruct
it. Who made Birdo? Did Miyamoto make Birdo?
I think somebody might have dropped some acid into something.
They saw Yoshi and just did a little,
they went to a place and just, it was magical.
This is maybe getting too far into probably not the best podcast material, but isn't Birdo,
go for it.
I like have read things that Birdo is like Nintendo's first transgender character because they wasn't like in the manual or something, they referred to Birdo as a he, saying like and then there was like a cross-dressing aspect of it, and now they always refer to Birdo as a girl. Mm-hmm. So
interesting. I didn't even think
there
about
you
that
have it.
I didn't even think about that. Birdo is just
I mean,
scary.
If that's canon, I'm great
that's
with that.
Cool.
Like,
yes, agree.
I kind
I'm
of wish
it,
they would lead into it. I know they never will, but
yeah. Hey. No, they never will. But
they never will.
I like the dinosaurs.
I'll take that story.
Yeah,
though.
Let's do that story. And we can believe it in our hearts.
And the head Nintendo canon. Fan cry will. Yeah. Will yeah, we'll make it canon. Yeah,
head canon is the
head
best canon.
Canon.
But yes, Fantoon Hunter 101 says, how soon do you think the next Nintendogs will get a new entry? Will it make it on Switch? Will it include other small animals, perhaps rabbits and ferrets? Nintendogs plus furry friends, he says.
I don't think we're ever going to get another one.
I don't think so.
I want another Nintendogs, but I don't think we're ever going to get another one. Sorry.
There's a good clone on the Switch right now. I'm blanking on the name, but it's, like, basically the same thing.
There's been a couple of these over the years.
Little Friends. Okay. It's called Little Friends, Dogs and Cats. It's basically the same thing as Nintendogs. It's just not developed by Nintendo.
Okay. Play that. I'm going to try that now. I like... The games are relaxing. I find them relaxing. Train your dog.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah, I liked it when I was in middle school. I played it a lot.
I'm so old.
I'm sorry, Elaine. I'm sorry. I know.
Every time you say something like that, my like lower back hurts a little more, and I grow like 4 gray new hairs.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord.
I know we said it earlier. I always thought this would be a good mobile game.
Yeah,
like,
it would be.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can use totally the pedometer and take your dog for walks. Yes. You can, I know people hate the microtransactions, but you can buy more breeds with microtransactions.
Or outfits.
You can put them in contests and like they can find
microtransactions.
Things. Like I'm just
like
saying, like I know we don't like that, but like that's a very like Nintendo mobile game thing. Mm-hmm.
It is.
You can pet them with the touch screen, like
yeah.
I don't know.
Give me mobile Nintendo.
I think that's a gold mine.
Yeah.
What you're saying right now is
it's
a literal mobile gold mine.
It's a Tamagotchi, but modern.
It's a Tamagotchi, yeah. With Nintendo dog.
But a dog.
Like I think they should have done that instead of Pikmin Go.
Or let us dress up the Pikmin. Make it them the friends. I don't care. Give me both.
Yeah.
Make it both.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry, Fantoon.
I'm sorry.
I just don't know if there's a market for it anymore.
It would be hard to it's a hard selling point. I see some of the interesting revivals though, like Brain Age. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I never thought that would come back.
I feel
and they're doing it on the Switch.
That's true. I feel like Nintendogs released when the virtual pet like phase was really high. I feel like that was very popular back then, like virtual pets, like you're right, like the Tamagotchis and even like online, like similar sites, like that was just very like a popular thing. I don't think that's a very popular thing anymore.
It was also a good sell for the touchscreen on the 3DS, like, or the DS. It was a whole like time and place moment for Nintendo, for sure.
Okay. Kevin wants to know, what was your most terrifying video game enemy or monster from when you were young? He says, for me, the Redeads from Zelda Ocarina of Time when I was 5 to 7 years old. The way they look and the noises are very unsettling. Oof. Did you have any terrifying video game enemies or monsters that like you were just like afraid of and wouldn't go near?
The Crimson Heads in the remake of Resident Evil scared the crap out of me. They just were horrifying. There was screeching. They're still screeching. Every time I play that game, I don't like it. I don't like it. I do not like it. They're so fast.
When I played Ocarina of Time last year, I thought of those monsters that like were very creepy, that stood still and then went slowly towards you.
Those are the Redeads. Yeah, that's
those, what you're talking about. Yep. Okay, sounds good. If I would have played Ocarina of Time when I was young, and I was like, I could totally understand being creeped out by that. I steered away from horror video games in general when I was young, so I don't have a big scary one. But I think this absolute like scariest monster experience ever was PT.
Oh, that was terrifying.
Oh goodness, 2014.
Screaming in my basement, screeching loudly.
Yeah, yeah. I had headphones in. It was super dark too, and I was just trying to figure out how to get out of that room and. Oh man, she just came after you and I freaked out. So, yeah, PT.
I have two. They're both from Zelda games. For Ocarina of Time, the Redeads were scary, but I don't know why. I got really freaked out by the like-likes. Oh, the ones that would be like kind of those weird worm things and they would like suck you in and swallow your shield.
Oh, those were annoying.
And for me, like, especially when they were underwater and you didn't really have much control over Link's movements in the water with like those whirlpools and stuff in the water temple and they would suck you up. And the thing that I didn't like about them was that they stole your shield. And if you didn't like kill them fast enough, like your shield would be gone. So I don't know why, but that just like really freaked me out when I was a kid and I would avoid them. I would like stay away from them in Lake Hylia. I hated them. And then also in Majora's Mask, which has a wide range of scary, creepy, horrifying things. The moon didn't scare me, like the face and stuff, but like just the concept of the final day. Day three, like those last couple minutes, like I was freaked out about the moon crashing.
Yeah.
Not the moon, just about like Termina ending. And like I would go back in time way sooner than I needed to just because I was so afraid of like leaving it up to the last couple like minutes or so. So that was pretty terrifying and scary. Probably explains a lot of the anxiety that I have as a 28-year-old.
Yes, it all started for me.
What, the moon crashing?
Not a fun game. That game is really stressful. Yep.
Yep.
Still need to play that one.
Oh, God, Garrett.
It's
stressful.
Weird. It's a weird game.
It's a weird game.
I like those time limit games because I played Outer Wilds.
Yeah.
And I absolutely adore that game because of the time limit. So I think I would definitely be into the Zelda game. I'm gonna probably beat it and say it's the best Zelda game in spite of Donnie.
Why are you like this?
Not careful.
Why do you have to start?
I just like to mess with people in general.
Weirdly enough, XBS and chat just reminded me what I was going to say about the Nintendo Switch Online like an hour ago.
Perfect.
Remember I had the two things and I forgot the one? He made me think of it. The Nintendo Switch Online doesn't have the rewind where you can can make the save states, but you can't like do the rewind system that you can on the other ones. And I was a little bit surprised about why. I don't know if like maybe they weren't able to get that working with
it. Really does
before emulation.
It really does feel like they shoehorned some of this stuff in at the last minute.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
I was under the impression that it would have that, and like. I mean, it's not a deal breaker for me, but
no. Save states would have probably been a deal breaker. I would have been bummed if those weren't in.
Yeah. But his comment about abusing save states reminded me of that. Yeah, a couple more questions. Sam wanted to know, why do you think the amiibo villagers from New Leaf's update aren't in New Horizons? I think that they're referring to the Zelda ones, the Zelda villagers and the Splatoon villagers and those types. All of them are first-party Nintendo characters, I believe, so I don't imagine it's a rights issue.
Maybe they just wanted to sort of remove that sort of integration and just make it a more base Animal Party, Animal Crossing game? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for this. I think it's interesting.
They're keeping it in their cards.
Yeah, they can just...
until it's the right moment, because again, it's like, it feels like a Nintendo Switch Online thing, where they're just slowly dropping stuff, and of course they're doing a great update, a great DLC in the beginning of November. But the way I'm seeing this is like, that could be like a year out.
It could.
And they just like, all right, we're dropping some villagers for you to go back and mess with it.
The thing is, they said this is the last major update for Animal Crossing. Right. So does that count as like a major update?
I don't know.
Maybe it was just too, maybe their plans were just too stacked to include them. Like they didn't want, you know, the extra, who knows?
Oh, Nintendo, yeah, definitely.
It's like,
yeah, you know. they are adding 16 new villagers, so maybe like maybe they could only do so much, and they said, should we do these old ones or should we just make brand new ones, and they decided to put the priority on new ones.
Yep.
Yeah,
so I think that's probably the most likely scenario there. And then Pete the Smiling Stegosaurus says, what game system or era do you most associate with your childhood?
Mm. Oh, God. You two answer
this
first.
This is an Elaine Field old
question. I'm just
going to
sit here and cry. I know my answer. Go ahead. Go ahead, children.
The Xbox 360.
I hate it so much. It hurts me. Oh, my God.
Playing Call of Duty in middle school.
Oh, my God.
I remember when I got the Xbox 360 in fifth grade.
What? I was in college. I have to go.
Wait, sixth grade. I'm sorry.
You were in middle school.
Yeah. just I'd say you're on the... Actually, yeah, 360 is probably my later childhood kind of game. And then other than that, Nintendo DS. Yes, of course. Also middle school.
Yeah.
I stood in a line when I was in college to get a DS at midnight.
Nice.
Cool. Hey, Rebecca, what about you?
So, while my first console was the Super Nintendo, and my early years were spent with the N64, if I really think about, like, childhood, like, formative years, it would probably be the GameCube, because, I feel like that was the point in my life where I was able to play games by myself. I wasn't really relying on my dad to help me with them. I was, you know, doing stuff more with friends by that point on the GameCube, and also the Nintendo DS.
Oh, God. It was the Super Nintendo for me. I was playing the Super Nintendo
school. We're saying this, we were
born
9
you
to
were
12
born. That was like, me. I was 9 to 12 in that period. Yeah,
okay.
I was in
okay.
I would be in middle school or late elementary school. It was a Super Nintendo, and that's the one that like has the games that I can remember playing when I was homesick. So like I remember getting a stomach bug, sleeping all morning, and then waking up and playing Super Metroid while drinking tea and eating like toast with cinnamon sugar on it. Like that's a very like specific memory from like 5th or 6th grade, I think. In 8th grade I played Earthbound. That was when I received a copy of that as a gift. So yeah, that was the Super Nintendo has.
Good gift.
Yeah, it was a baller gift. The Super Nintendo has that chunk of my childhood, the what you would call formative, like before I went to college, the good years. So.
Yeah, I think of also summer vacations, like summer vacations from school, summer break, playing a lot of GameCube, and I see Anime Gaming Lifting in chat says PS2. I played a lot of PS2 at that age as well.
I had a PS2 in college. I got one my freshman year. I bought one my freshman year. So yeah, I'm so old.
I played a lot of Simpsons Road Rage on there. Man. I played a lot of DDR. Did you guys play Dance Dance Revolution? I played a lot of that.
I was really bad
sometimes,
at that.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Guitar Hero when Guitar Hero first came out when I was a little older.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
a lot of
I remember
it,
that.
A lot of Guitar
that was
Hero.
A big
that
thing.
Was a good age for sure.
Yeah, and that was our last question.
Perfect. This worked out beautifully. What a great episode.
It did. It really did. And
minus
thank
the early
bearing with us.
Yeah,
with,
the early haunting.
Yeah, with the late start and the PSVG ghost that seems to haunt all of our Halloween episodes. But
of course. Yeah.
we made it through it, guys. I think we're gonna have
we did it.
Some more good gaming coming up. I'm excited for what I'm playing this week.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. To all of our listeners.
Finish Metroid.
Mm-hmm. Finish Metroid. Yes, we need to hear your thoughts. Elaine, finish Metroid. We're gonna have a, you know, more of a spoiler cast for it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But all of our listeners, have a safe Halloween. Enjoy yourselves. Make safe choices. And we will see you next week with more games that we've been playing and more awesome Nintendo news. Have a good night,
Sounds
everybody.
Good. Bye-bye. Bye.